And this is the only exhibit in the region that tells our history as a collective whole. And it looks at the environment, it looks at the culture, it looks at the diverse peoples, the innovations that have taken place here, the industries that have arisen. And it really shows it's a singular story. So there's all these individual strands that run throughout, but they all make up who we are today. It's highly interactive, and people have a way that they can not only learn their history, but then they can engage with it and they can leave their feedback, and you can see how other people are responding to that history.
This episode of The Sponge Show is produced and distributed by Be Connected, a social media management firm in Northeast Wisconsin. Hello and welcome back to The Sponge Show, where we are here to listen and absorb and learn stories from people in our community, people that we work with, and leaders around the area that we can be sponges to absorb their stories, their strategies, the stuff that they have going on, and just essentially become better people and better leaders and better people within our community as well, as we learn from one another. So today, I have an awesome guest with me today, Dustin Mack. You want to introduce yourself a little about yourself and your role and who you're with and everything like that?
Yeah, thanks, Brad. So I'm Dustin Mack. I'm now the executive director of the History Museum at the Castle here in Appleton. I was chief curator for the past 7 years and have just assumed the role as executive director as of January 1st. So it's a new role, same organization, but I'm really excited about the prospects of what can be done at the History Museum and continue to grow in this field as a museum and as a community.
So you said now executive director, and that is taking over a role that's been filled by your predecessor for quite a number of years, right? So how did you end up getting to where you're at now?
Yeah. So Matt Carpenter had been the executive director at the History Museum. He decided to retire, and the board of directors came to me and knew that I was looking for a new challenge and thought that I would be a good candidate to take over as executive director. It's important in a community like this to not only know the history, but you know the community partners and you know the institution's strengths and weaknesses, right? And so having somebody that has kind of gone through that learning curve already gives you a leg up rather than going to an outside candidate or something like that.
So why history? You know, as you're a young guy, right? Coming up through the ranks within the History Museum and have been there for several years now. And why grow within leadership of history within Appleton?
Yeah. So for me, learning history helped me understand the world around me in the present in a way that I didn't learn from any other subject. So as I got more into history, going through high school and then eventually in college, taking history classes helped me understand the world as it currently exists in a way that I couldn't fathom before. So I understood racism in a different way. I understood the expansion of the United States across the continent in a new way. I understood the economics of our country and how things came to be. And that to me was just fascinating. And it helped me gain a better sense of who I was in that world and what my role to play was. So in coming to the museum, I love this position because it helps me try to do the same thing for other people, right? Through history, we can help other people understand the world around them and their place a little bit better. And having so many visitors come through the doors at the History Museum every year is a great way to help influence them and help educate them on the history. And Appleton and the Fox Cities in general has a very interesting history. There's a lot of colorful characters, a lot of diverse industries, and these stories are just endless that we can tell. And all those stories help us understand how we got to be here and who we are today.
So obviously we're known as the Paper Valley, the Fox River Paper Valley. People don't really know what to call it. Fox Cities, Fox River Valley, Paper Valley, you name it. Thus, people associate this area primarily with paper, right? The history of paper and everything like that. But there's so much more than that, as you were just talking about, like diverse backgrounds, colorful characters, you know, things like that. Can you shed some light on a little, like, what is this area known for beyond paper?
Yeah, that's a big question.
It might put you on the spot a little bit, but you know, if there's an identity, I mean, paper is like part of our identity, which has seen a resurgence with, you know, packaging and things like that. But if this area is built on so much more than that too, you know, like what kind of things can we learn from about our present tense, you know, based on our past?
One of the things that's striking about this area is that in the Fox Valley, people have always been open to and adapted new technologies and new ideas. And for that reason, the Fox Cities has always been kind of on the cutting edge of what's coming next. And they've been willing to adjust to changing circumstances and adapt to new environments.
So like hydropower?
Yeah, like hydroelectricity would be one example of it. You know, there were a lot of wheat farms here to begin with. When European American settlers were coming here, wheat farming was the big thing. And there was a disease that went through that killed a lot of the wheat. Kansas began kind of coming into its own as a state, and production kind of moved out. And so people had to reinvent who they were and how they were farming. That's a change, right? The paper industry itself, going back to the beginning of the question, you know, that has always reinvented itself. Lawrence University has found ways to remain relevant for, you know, over 100 years, you know, and you don't do that without having some ability to adjust and to adapt and accommodate new technology.
So I'm privileged to be able to serve on the board for the museum. So I know some of this stuff, but for people that are listening, what's something new that might be at the museum that hasn't been there in the past, new as in the last couple of years, that helps encapsulate that story?
So we just opened a exhibit called You Are Here. It entirely takes over our lower level of the museum. We opened it last spring, and it's an overarching history of the Fox Valley from early Native American history all the way up until 2020 is about the cutoff date on that. And this is the only exhibit in the region that tells our history as a collective whole. And it looks at the environment, it looks at the culture, it looks at the diverse peoples, the innovations that have taken place here, the industries that have arisen. And it really shows it's a singular story. So there's all these individual strands that run throughout, but they all make up who we are today. It's highly interactive, and people have a way that they can not only learn their history, but then they can engage with it and they can leave their feedback, and you can see how other people are responding to that history.
So I think that's pretty exciting, and I've seen it. It's really well lit. It's state of the art, and it's bigger than you might think when you think of like, oh, it's in our lower level, but no, it's actually pretty expansive. Can you explain a little bit about like the quality of what's down there?
I mean, this is a professional grade exhibit. It's like you said, it's bright, it's engaging, it's meant to be timeless. And so we wanted to create something that the community could be proud of. No matter who you are, we want you to see yourself in that history as part of this story, our story, and continue to evolve with it, right? So history isn't static. The way we think about the past is constantly changing based on the present and the questions that we're asking about the past. And so this exhibit is designed in a way that can grow with the community. We can change the text, we can change artifacts, we can change images. And all of that allows this to be something that the community is proud of and can learn from going forward.
One of the coolest things I think is unique about it as well is that as you're working through the exhibit, you're kind of going around the perimeter of it, but then in the middle of it, there's a 3D topographical map that's very large. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to like look at this, you know, 3-foot by 3-foot map. It's very large that you have to walk around and make your way around the exhibit of the Fox River and then like the different communities around it. And it's, like I said, topographical. So it's 3D and it's very, in my mind, it feels very immersive in terms of like, it's tangible. Like it's right in front of you. It's not like a screen that you're reading. You know,
yeah.
You're making your way around the Fox Valley.
You know? Right. And we designed it that way intentionally because the Fox River is really the one thing that connects all the diverse strands, right? The Fox River is the reason why we all live here today. It's the reason why there are communities around it. It's the reason why the paper industry came. And so we felt it was critical that the Fox River be the centerpiece of that whole exhibit. And the topography of the area matters, right? The fact that the Fox River drops to such a large degree as it goes north to Green Bay, which is highly unusual, is a story that needs to be told. And we know these things, right? Like we can read it in a book, but seeing it on that map and watching how the water drops as it goes to Green Bay really helps us understand all those different strands of history and why it connects back to the river.
All right. So looking towards the future of the History Museum and the Fox Cities and everything like that, what is on the horizon as far as what we can be excited for as a community of what's possible in like the downtown area? And I'm kind of lobbing you a softball here, but what is possible of how museums could work together and some things that are moving behind the scenes?
So there's a shift in the landscape of museums in the Fox Valley. So we know that the Atlas Science Center, formerly the Paper Discovery Center, has closed. Their mission has kind of ceased to exist at the moment. There's a lot of uncertainty about the future of the UW Fox Cities campus and what that means for the Barlow Planetarium and the Weiss Museum. And one thing that the History Museum has been working on behind the scenes is kind of trying to preserve those assets for the community. So the fear is that with the failure of these museums or the uncertainty behind them, that they will be lost as a community asset, which would be a terrible thing for all of us. And so at the History Museum, we began thinking about what can we do to try to be of best service for the community, because that's ultimately what our mission is, right? We're trying to preserve the history and educate people. So how does our role as a museum play into what's happening to these other organizations? And what we've come up with is kind of a plan to try to consolidate and preserve those organizations and their missions as best we can at the History Museum. And there's a tremendous upside to that. So in the early 2000s, there was kind of a proliferation of new museums in the Fox Cities. And what that did was it kind of divided our resources as a community. And it made it hard for visitors to know where to go.
And not only new museums, but spread out.
Yeah, very spread out. They were spread out throughout the Fox Cities, and they weren't direct competitors by any means. There was a lot of collaboration that went between them. But the philanthropic dollars that is needed to go to support those organizations then got divided. The visitor numbers that would go to support those organizations got divided. So if you think about, you know,
like a field trip.
Yeah, like a field trip, or you have visitors to come to town, right? Like, where's the one place you would tell them to go? It's kind of hard, right?
Yeah, you could go here, you go here, you go here, and not one like staple thing, like you can't go there without going there. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And so at the museum now, we're thinking about, okay, how can we preserve those things for the community? How can we create an economy of scale that is sustainable and that is something that the community can rely on, and it's something that tourists know is like, hey, this is the destination where we want to go. And so at the museum, we've come up with a plan where we can help bring these organizations inside the History Museum. We can have the Weiss exhibit and collections on display at the History Museum. We can move the collections that was part of the Atlas Science Center that looks at paper history. I mean, that's an easy fit
yeah.
for the History Museum to have. And we can try to incorporate the Barlow Planetarium, and they've kind of got a blow up, like igloo type thing. If you think of a bounce house flipped upside down, they have one of those.
Which also makes it portable, right?
Yeah, it makes it portable. And so that's something that we can set up at the museum. So now we can have a kind of a one-stop shop for visitors, for school groups. They can come, they can learn astronomy, they can get earth science, and they can get the normal history that they would come to expect from the history museum all at one place. And now we're paying one utility bill,
right?
The museum has already paid for itself, so we don't have rent. We have the staff that can support it. And so it makes an economy of scale that is going to work to the visitors' benefits, because prices will actually come down because you're going to one place instead of multiple different places. And it's something that we can really promote within the community as something where visitors know, like, this is the spot where you need to go and you can see all these things about our community.
And one of the really cool things, I think, is to note for young families and schools and things like that is that, you know, part of the You Are Here exhibit improvements that have happened, so you've got the history of the Fox Cities and everything like that. But then if you work in some of this natural history, right? So some of the stones, gems, all that kind of stuff, plus space exploration and things like that from the Barlow, there have been some spaces created that are like rooms for learning that you can then create programming around a variety of topics because of the resources that you have, because of consolidating, you know, space and, you know, the universe and everything like that with natural history and of our, you know, the rocks and the formation of our area and everything like that. And then you have paper and industry and people and culture and everything like that. And you have it all there. So then you can use these educational spaces very flexibly to create really dynamic environments for kids.
And we can hit on all the topics that they need to do in order to meet the benchmarks that the state and the federal government has laid out for them for educational purposes, right? Like, now you can get that field trip and you can have math, science, you can get your STEM, and you can get your social studies and political science all in one field trip location. And like you said, we have flexible education rooms where we can tailor programs to, you know, a school's specific interest, or, you know, if the Boy Scouts come, they can have a program that's delivered specifically for them on a given topic, and yet still explore the rest of the museum and take in all that we have to offer.
Yeah. So I don't work at the museum, so I'm going to throw this out there and you can say whatever you want about it, but this is just my take and my opinion. I would love to imagine a time, it like gets me really excited to that, a school group or a traveling group of, if their adults are here for a convention or they're here for a Packer game or whatever, lifelong learners, right? Gets dropped off on that end of College Ave. And this is well into the future, because this would require, you know, capital campaigns and consolidation of assets and all that kind of stuff. And throughout the day, they can visit the Barlow, which has been repositioned, newly constructed, whatever. And there's gemstones and minerals and all that kind of stuff there. You've got not part of Barlow, but part of the museum. You have the history of the Fox Cities. You got some programming going on with some of the exhibit space, some traveling stuff. And then you also have across the street, the trout and arts and, you know, art exhibits and stuff like that, all within a block. And to me, that feels very exciting, because then you have now created an environment where if you're from out of town and you're visiting, you can't really go there without going to that block.
That's right. We can create a museum campus. So
right.
With this consolidation, the goal would be to have it all inside the History Museum at the Castle as it exists currently, with the plan of being to expand and to build on to the castle. So
yeah.
We can build the planetarium. We can add additional gallery space or educational space that we need. And then we're an anchor on the east side of College Avenue next to the Trout Museum, next to Lawrence University.
City Park.
City Park. So there's all kinds of collaborations that can happen between those organizations on that side of town, and we become a cultural destination,
yeah,
right? For not only for Northeast Wisconsin, but for Wisconsin in general. And this is a place that can be attractive to employers, right? If you're an employee, you're coming to this area thinking about taking a job. This is a tremendous benefit. You think about the arts and culture that you can get or you can bring to your family. These are selling points for employers to recruit new employees. These are tools that can help us educate our children now and the workforce and, you know, entertain ourselves as we learn, all in one kind of section of town.
Yeah. Well, thanks for laying out a vision, and the role that you're in is going to, you know, put you in a very unique position where you can help bring a lot of this stuff to life. And I'm excited to see where this goes. And I'm excited to see what the potential is for the community just by bringing resources together that are already out there. They're already in the community, and frankly, we're at risk of losing. But I'm excited for, if we do it the right way, what it could become. Very cool. I think one of the, a big misconception out there is that history is kind of like stale and static, you know, that, oh, we're just going to sit here and then look at the past, right? But with the new exhibit that you have, and then some other things that are going on in the community, what is some momentum that you have to look forward to for the future? Obviously, some things are, you can't disclose if it's like in the works, right? But what are some things that are going on right now that are things to get excited about with like momentum and things to get interested for your family or your school or anything like that?
So the History Museum partners with over 200 organizations every year. And so there's always new ideas, new energy, new projects that are coming to light. And we just completed one for a new pop-up exhibit called Our Afghan Neighbors. And we partnered with World Relief to interview Afghan refugees who had to flee their country to find safety in the United States after partnering with the United States and our allies for sometimes over 20 years in Afghanistan. And so we're able to tell their stories and show how, yeah, they are new to our community, but they are now part of our community. And there's a growth that can happen there. So that's one example. We've also partnered with a number of elementary schools this year that have memberships at the museum. So that means that because of the generosity of some donors, they can have unlimited field trips for their school to come to the museum. All those kids are honorary members at the museum, so they can come to the museum whenever they want outside of school hours for free. And those are all ways that we can kind of keep learning and build museum goers into our community, because this is a lifelong pattern that we're creating. And if you're going to a museum as a young child, you're more likely to do it as an adult and continue to learn and be a sponge and grow, which is what, you know, theoretically all adults are trying to achieve, right?
Well, not all of them.
Well, you'd hope.
I would say the people in our circles, yes, but,
sure, sure.
But maybe not all of them. And also pretty exciting. I know it's a different organization, but I think it's pretty exciting that the Trout Museum is moving right across the street. And I know that it's like, you know, one, they serve two different populations, one with art and one with history. But if you're a visitor in this area, I think it's pretty intriguing and really cool that if you go down to the end of this street down here before you, right as you get to Lawrence, you have, you can spend a couple hours here and a couple hours there, and you can get a very big picture of arts and culture of our area.
It's going to create a lot of opportunities for the History Museum and for the Trout Museum to collaborate and work together. It's going to be very convenient for our visitors. And we're in the process of working with Lawrence University on partnerships between the History Museum and the Trout Museum. And there's a great collaboration that's forming there. And it will take shape over the next year and will continue to grow after that. But that's something that I'm really excited about, and I think can be, you know, help grow and create a real foundation for kind of the arts and history community here.
So you're new to the role, not new to the organization, but new to the role, what are you pumped about? What are you excited about? Like, what are you working towards? What gets you going?
I'm excited about what's possible in this community. So there, like I said, there's an endless supply of stories that we can tell about the past. And it's really a matter of what stories do we want to tell and how do we tell those stories. The one thing that the History Museum has been very good at over the years is telling kind of uncomfortable histories, the types of things that you would maybe shy away from or you get a little bit worried about offending somebody and telling the story, or it's a darker part of our past, right? And one thing that I want to do as executive director is continue to serve that mission, because by bringing light to things, it helps us understand who we are. We can have honest conversations with ourselves, and it helps us understand our problems in the current day, right? So if we look back at the past as kind of this idyllic time where nothing was wrong, then it makes us feel like we're failures in this moment because, oh my God, we've got all these problems and the people before us didn't. Mm-hmm. Well, if we're honest with ourselves and we look at the problems of the past and how they overcame them, that can give us some insight and some courage, right, to face the problems in our own time. Mm-hmm. And so tackling wealth inequality, looking at labor relations, that sort of thing is an area that the museum is going to really focus on and try to grow in the future.
I love that. And there was a big sports speech from the early 90s from Jimmy V when he was accepting his ESPY award, where in the speech, it's one of my favorite of all time. And in that speech, he talks about, like, if you focus on three things, you focus on where you came from, where you are now, and where you want to be. And a lot of times when people think about where they came from, you look at like what you're proud of, or what you want to carry through, or what you want to keep going and all that kind of stuff. But in order to look at where you are now and where you want to be, you also have to look at the hard stuff, the stuff you're not proud of,
yeah.
The stuff that you need to learn from or never let happen again. And that's all part of history, right? I mean, you look at like Americans and slavery and things like that. Like, if you don't understand the past, you'll never be able to, you know, chart a course for the future that you can be proud of in the future, right?
100%. I mean, you look at the founding fathers, that they're held up kind of on this pedestal in American history, and they had a lot of great qualities. They had a lot of good ideas, but they were flawed individuals. A lot of them were slave owners. A lot of them, you know, had bad ideas on this and that and the other thing. And by looking at kind of all of that, then, right, we can grow as a society, just like we would do as an individual. If you have a failure as an individual, you reflect on what you screwed up. And it's more important to look at what you screwed up and reflect on yourself than it is on what you did well, so that you can improve going forward. History to me is much the same.
So as you know, the mission at the museum is creating lifelong learners, right? So if you had an invite to the audience to come experience something, or something they might not be they might not have seen yet or subject to yet, or they haven't checked out the museum, what would you leave them with?
There's so much to this history, and the museum has a ton to offer. So we can talk about local history. We're probably most well known for our AKA Houdini exhibit. Houdini is endlessly fascinating. He is something that is a continuous draw for people from all 50 states. Every year, people come to visit and mostly see Houdini. And right now we have a great traveling exhibit called Nature All Around Us that looks at how nature influences our urban environments. We don't need to go to a national forest or go to a state park to experience nature. If we're patient and we're willing to look around, it's everywhere all around us every day. And this exhibit helps drive that home.
That's awesome. Well, Dustin, thanks for being here. If you want to learn a little bit more, we'll provide some links and ways for you to get in touch with the History Museum at the Castle, downtown Appleton. Otherwise, feel free to give us a subscribe. You can get the episodes either in your social feeds or your inbox or anything like that. Dustin, thanks for being here. And we look forward to see what's in the future for the History Museum.
Thanks, Brad.